Welcome to Biddy Sounds Off, a place for episodic writing and music I love. I'm Biddy, and I'm coming to you from sunny central Mexico, the state of Guanajuato. Myself and my two senior pets are on a sort of world tour, you could say, interviewing places to live and potentially retire one day. Mexico is an incredible country with much to offer, but I don't think I've found my forever home yet. I've realized recently that if I were to make the move full-time, permanent, forever in Mexico, I would have to become a sandal person. Not a strappy sandal heel, but a toes gripping the earth sandal person. I think I'm more of a boot person. Stomp through the rain puddles boot person. Strappy can be a desirable feature in boot wear, as well as a slender or short heel. Nothing blocky for my taste. A rounded toe shape is my enduring preference. A holdover, no doubt, from my days wearing Mary Janes and plastic barrettes shaped like circus animals. Hanging around outside of gay clubs in the 90s and the parks and alleyways, nearby concert venues, waiting for the show to start. Once, back at just such a park in Denver, my BFF and I shuffled around the periphery, smoking cigarettes and trying to look cool while chatting up a couple kids our age. Danny wore low-slung jeans like mine, but instead of the baby tee I wore, her t-shirt was ringed around the neck and sleeves. Her hair was bleached blonde, the color I'd always wanted, but mine always ended up orange-looking. She was eyeing me in a way that made my belly button piercing flutter, and my BFF to roll his eyes. They didn't have tickets, and we were going up to their place a block away to drink some beers. We rounded the corner near the center of the park by an empty stone fountain, and I was immediately struck by her bright red hair, a neon red, against her alabaster skin. Her narrow shoulders were hunched inward like folded bird wings. Mickey Berenyi, and the rest of her band Lush, the band we were waiting to see. We all froze in our tracks. I stepped right up, ready to make a fool of myself for Danny. Hoping to impress her, I walked right up to them and, apologizing profusely, stuttering in between sips of my cigarette and with my stringy chin-length hair falling into my face. Mickey must have admired my moxie back then. She put Danny's name on the list. While Danny and I, my BFF, danced in front of the stage to the opening band, we spotted Mickey on the other side of the velvet ropes. I gasped, and she gave me a coy little wave. The elegance conveyed was electrifying. After the show, which was a fucking frolic and a dream, we made our way out of the theater, stopping to receive thanks from the first band of the night for showing up. The lead singer smiled broadly at me, saying he'd seen me out there and he really liked my barrettes. You guys, it was Rivers Cuomo. The opening band was Weezer, back when Patrick Wilson was the most famous member, the drummer, lending credibility to his new project thanks to the more successful band. At the time, the Rentals. Let's take a listen break, maybe even a booty shake.
Good guy for a gal. So won't you look my palm away? I've got time for a chat. So won't you tell me my future? I'm gonna break down a kick to you. And I'm not quite a scallion. Friends of me.
friends are feeling. Friends with a view. Some modest fame, fortune with a view. It's gonna come to me earlier with a view. I've got two loves in my life with a view. And I'm dying and I'm dead. Thank you.
First, we heard Friends of P by The Rentals. Following that was For Love by Lush. Welcome back. So I've been trying to teach myself to sew. This is another thing I can do at home, alone, as I like it, with pets. One of the few things I'd toted from the U.S. all the way to Guanajuato, along with myself, the cat, Cosette Choupette Papette Mapette, and my Pekingese boy, the monkey lion, dog of Peking, China, is a white brand Millennium Edition sewing machine. My mother purchased these for each of us, my older sister and I, one Christmas, long ago now. My sister was given the traditional white-colored white machine, which meant Mom was acknowledging my fashion choices and aesthetics in general by choosing black for me. My wardrobe still heavily features black, not the primary choice, some might say, for the tropical climes here in Mexico. Neither my sister nor myself knew how to sew or had even asked for a sewing machine. Mom sewed the odd Halloween costume for us, and my grandmother made a living sewing custom draperies out of her home. We'd never been taught, and so each of us toted these machines around as we moved houses and apartments over the years. When COVID hit, I moved in with my mom, who, despite her high-risk status, never contracted it. She died later that year due to a constellation of other illnesses. In life, she remained a novid. I pestered her in our last year together to teach me to sew. She huffed and puffed, presumably exasperated that I'd never learned on my own. There was the great rolling of eyes and smacking of lips, wet as Aunt Rella's kisses had been. Aunt Rella was from Dad's side, obviously, since affection hadn't been something I'd grown up with, unless you include alienation of in front of it. But these weren't kisses. Since suffering at least one stroke that I knew of, she seemed to be producing more saliva than before. Mom was suddenly a whirlwind, flicking fabric and snapping bobbins and needles in place. As she worked, her expression into a sort of grimace, smacking her lips, sucking her teeth. "Wait," I said. "Slow down. If you let me watch you set up the machine, I might understand better." She did, somewhat, allowing me to ask questions along the way and snorting in response. "It's just so simple. Anyone can do it, you see? See?" I realized our styles of teaching were different. An unfair comparison, for sure, as I've been formally trained, but my heart sort of sunk to recall this familiar method of teaching. The old, "I can't believe you don't know this already," method. It would have been hard to learn anything that way, but very easy to believe yourself worth less for not already knowing this or that or probably anything. I watched a few videos on YouTube before learning how to sew a seam. Just this last fall, after renting a house near Ajijic and toting out my black, white brand sewing machine, I fired it up and realized I'm something of a needy learner. It was reassurance I sought while researching and cross-checking various videos. I tried once before, but I broke the needle straight away. I break guitar strings, too. I ruin everything with my brute force. Eventually, I was able to sew a seam. It was crooked as my grandma's gnarled hands had been. The seam in front of me, a ragged zigzag. This is because my hands shook. I was nervous I'd make mistakes, ensuring I'd make them by seeding my own thoughts with self-doubt. When that wasn't enough, my own hands set about sabotage. The shaking is part of the clenching of the jaw and the tension in my neck and the concrete shoulder raising up so that the hips follow out of balance, out of alignment, and the spine flares up and nerve pain joins in with the arthritis and inflammation, a system within my body. We all have systems like these, our own versions of them. Our emotions become oversaturated, and my mental state overrides my body, expressing itself through my muscles and joints, no less than a vice-like grip of days gone by, clamping down on my neck, twisting my spine, all while my heart is caught like my breath in my chest, in my throat, a hummingbird fluttering with all its might and merely hovering, going nowhere. Paralysis can set in. But this is spring now. It's a new year. I'm a steadier hand, and we're stronger for recognizing the systems of dysfunction within ourselves. For me, taking those moments for myself is a way to show respect for not only my experiences in the moment, but to show respect for the girl within me who has suffered. These are the moments we share now, gentle listener, as we enjoy a song together. We just heard Grow Into a Ghost by Swerin from 2018. And we're back. I've always been interested in fashion. And before I'd ever heard of Prada, Galliano, or McQueen, I was obsessed with getting my hands on a pair of pink and purple pinstripe jeans. Lee's, Jordache, either would look bitchin'. I just knew it. I begged, and instead of a trip to the mall, my mom drove me to the fabric store. I leafed through the Holly Hobby-styled dresses, sans bonnet, obvs. I never wore skirts or dresses back then. They made me feel vulnerable. I convinced my mother that pants would be best. A jumpsuit, maybe? Bold black and white stripes, instead of pink and purple. My aim was to replicate the black and white suit Nikki Sixx had worn during the Theater of Pain era, my favorite band at that time. It started with Shout at the Devil, a tape I bought with my paper route money. Mom saw the title and threatened to confiscate the cassette. I convinced her to let me keep it by explaining they were shouting at the devil because they knew the devil was bad. The suit was a cotton polyester blend and hung like the baggy costume it was over my shapeless 12-year-old frame. I hadn't the nerve to wear it outside of my room, but before it made its way back to the dark recesses of my closet for good, I used my sister's eyeliner to color in one black rectangle under each eye and scrawl FTW up my arm. Clad in my badass ensemble, I performed my best air-based moves in the mirror. The good news was I hadn't asked for the red leather pants doused in kerosene and set alight like the Livewire video. The bad news was that their next album, Girls, 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 featured heavily in the development of body issues and internalized misogyny. So it goes when all of life is a stage and all of us players in the theater of pain. Our last song comes from Evans the Death. It's called Telling Lies. This has been Biddy Sounds Off. Thank you for listening.